This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we'll begin the program by recitation of Quran Sharif by Qari Abdul Qadir Sahib.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين وإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل لما عوقبتم به ولئن صبرتم لهو خير للصابرين وإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل ما عوقبتم به ولئن صبرتم لهو خير للصابرين واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تك في ضيق مما يمكرون إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم.
ما شاء الله ما شاء
الله. جزاك الله. السلام عليكم once again, brothers and sisters. May I welcome you all here tonight to officially open the ceremony and give you the outline of tonight's program. I would like now to ask Brother Shamshad from Islamic Propagation Center, Birmingham, to... Can you hear me now? I want to repeat all I said just now. I'll ask Brother Shamshad to come up now and officially introduce our guest speaker and give you the outline of tonight's program. Brother Shamshad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Distinguished and honored guest, respected elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. The program today follows as such. You will soon hear Sheikh Ahmed Didar, inshallah, after which there will be a question session. For the brothers sitting on the ground level in the lower hall, there is a free standing microphone at the front. They will be requested to please come forward and form an orderly queue. For the sisters sitting on the lower level, please write your questions and pass them on each side towards the back. And there will be brothers standing on each side to collect the questions and pass them on to Sheikh Ahmed Didar. Brothers and sisters, Sheikh Ahmed Didar needs no introduction. By the grace of Allah, he has been involved in the field of Dawah almost all his life. Brothers and sisters, he is responsible for motivating, enthusing, and inspiring millions throughout the world. And I happen to be one of those people that he inspired. Dear brothers and sisters, he is now 77 years of age. And mashallah, as strong as ever in delivering the message of Dawah, in delivering the message of Allah. Brothers and sisters, I would like you to join him. I would like you to join me and pray for Sheikh Ahmed Didar, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him health and long life. Brothers and sisters, I would like you to welcome Sheikh Ahmed Didar with a takbir. Takbir! Allahu Akbar! Brothers and sisters, we are honored to have amidst Sheikh Ahmed Didar.
قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم. صدق الله المولى العظيم. Mr. Chairman, and my dear brothers and sisters, we have gathered here this evening to discuss the latest publication of His Holiness Pope John Paul II. He has just published a book entitled Crossing the Threshold of Hope. This is his latest, and it has become a world's bestseller. Within weeks of its publication in America, they sold 1,600,000 copies of this. I haven't been able to get the figures for Britain, But throughout the world, millions of copies of this have been sold. And in this book, His Holiness the Pope, he devotes 8 pages to Buddhism, 7 pages to Judaism, and he gives 4 for Islam. The religion which is the closest and the nearest to Christianity, the only religion other than Christianity which makes its followers to believe in Jesus, Islam. And His Holiness the Pope only has 4 pages dedicated for Islam. Buddhism 8, Judaism 7, Islam 4. And he's talking about dialogue. They have sent out to the medias of the world, newspapers of the world, that they want to have a dialogue with the Islamic world. When they talk about the Islamic world, I think they have in their mind especially the Arab Muslim world. What is this dialogue His Holiness is talking about? For the past 10-15 years, every time I've been reading about His Holiness's movements in the different countries of the world, I read that when he went to Turkey, he made a pronouncement that we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. When he went to Nigeria, he said, we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. When he went to Kenya, he said, we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. Who is this we? That's the Roman Catholic Church. They must have a dialogue with the Muslims. And I was waiting. I was waiting for somebody from the Arab world, from the Al-Azhar, going along and having a dialogue with him. From somebody from India, Pakistan, some Alim Allama, going and having a dialogue with him. I'm waiting to read in the newspapers that so-and-so went there and they had a discussion and what they spoke. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and nothing happens. Things were happening, but the world didn't know. So I wrote to His Holiness. I said, Your Holiness, you want to have a dialogue with the Muslims. The Holy Quran also tells us to have a dialogue with you. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, Qul, say, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, O Jews and Christians, Ta'alam, come. Ila kalimatin sawa'in bainana wa bainakum. That we come to common terms as between us and you. Let us get onto a common platform. And the terms and conditions of getting together, Allah gives them to us. The fairest that one can imagine. You can't imagine anything fairer than that. Number one, of getting together. Number one, سَأَنْ لَا اللَّهِ that we worship none but Allah, وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا and that we associate no partners with Him, وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ and that we do not take from among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا but if they turn back, they don't respond. وَقُولُ شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ tell them that we are Muslims, we have submitted our rules to the will of Allah. The Quran tells us to have a dialogue with you, and your book in the Holy Bible, your Bible, in the book of Isaiah, God says, come, let us reason together. So this is a commandment given by God in the Bible and in the Quran, and I am prepared to come and have a dialogue with you in the Vatican, in Rome, at your convenience. Time, date, to your convenience. No response. I wrote another letter. No response. I wrote another letter. Then I get a response. Telling me that His Holiness is prepared to receive me in His secretariat, in private. Secretariat, in private. So I write back to him. I say, Your Holiness, you see, this dialogue is not between Ahmad Didat and the Pope. This dialogue is between Islam and Christianity. And the whole world will want to know what's going on, what are we talking? The news media of the world will want to cover it. The TV networks of the world will want to cover it. Islam and Christianity. One side, 1 billion Muslims and over 1,200,000 Christians. They are having a discussion and the whole world will want to know what are we talking. So, there are 3 plane loads of young Muslims are prepared to come from South Africa. And my brothers from the UK, my brothers from the Middle East, all these people want to come and hear what we are going to talk. Dialogue, what dialogue we are going to have, what are we going to talk about? How big is your secretariat? So no answer.
again, please let me know. I'm not telling you to come to South Africa. If you want to talk to me, come to South Africa, to my city of Durban. No. That's arrogance. This man is great. He is the head of 900 million Catholics. They take him as an infallible person, like God. Whatever he says is like the voice of God, the voice of Jesus Christ. His title is the Vicar of Christ. He's the Viceroy of Jesus Christ. Whatever he says is Jesus Christ putting it through him. No, as such, it's arrogance on my part to tell him, hey, you come, talk to me. No, I'm prepared to come over. No response. How big is your secretary? No response. Then I get in the post a picture, this one here. Now I don't want to put my hands to my eyes the way he's doing here, because this camera is catching. The camera will catch me, and then someday somebody shows the film and says, look, Dida is playing hide and seek with people. Look, in Bradford he was doing that. He was doing like a monkey tricks. So I don't know. Therefore, I just showed you, I'm sorry that all of you, you know, you can't see it, it's too far away, but I think it will be available on tape. On the tape, I'm sure this people will be able to catch this. So I get this picture in the post, which gives me the answer to what he's doing. He's playing hide and seek with Muslims. The picture comes in the post. Akhi Jibreel wouldn't have delivered a better message to me to say, look, you're wasting your time. This guy is playing hide and seek with the Muslims. This picture. One picture is worth 10,000 words, says the Chinese. And here, I think it's worth 20,000. So, I was disappointed. And I come to Britain. And in Birmingham. And Dr. Abdullah Nasif of the Rabita, he happened to be there. And some body of society invited him for lunch. And I got also blessed. They also invited me. And we happened to sit side by side. He's an old friend of mine, Dr. Abdullah Nasif of the Rabita. So he's asking me, Ahmad, he said, what happened about your debate with the Pope? It wasn't a debate. But what happened about your debate with the Pope? That's the only word they know, debate. See? I said, no, we were going to have a symposium, but however. What happened about your debate with the Pope? I said, no, that guy was playing fools. You know, he's making a mockery of the Muslims. You know, he's playing a game with us. I knew it all along, but I didn't want to say that. But now I said, look, I'm convinced that the guy is playing a game. So Dr. Abdullah Nasir tells me, he says, you know, he did it to me too. He did it to me too. Look, he doesn't mention that. In those chapters I named, Buddhism, he mentions people that he had discussion with among the Buddhists by name. Judaism, on the subject chapter on Judaism, he speaks about the Jews with whom he had personal discussion. About Islam, not one word about any name, no Muslim name at all. Amazing. Man, you want to have a dialogue with the Muslims, you need to say, you've never had any chat with any Muslim? In your experience, not one name. No name! As if the Muslims don't exist. However, so Dr. Abdullah Nasir tells me, he said, you see, he did it to me too. I said, what did he do? He said, you see, when I was in Egypt, his agents, the Pope's agents, they came to me and said, look, if you want to meet His Holiness, He will be happy to receive you for a dialogue. And he said, I agree. No, Arabs are simple people. Wallah, they are simple people. We Muslims all are simple people. We are, can be easily described as simpletons. You know simpleton? You know what simpleton? You know a ton, that is 2,000 pounds. Simple is simple, full of simplicity. Huh? No. Simpleton in English means a bloody fool. You don't know. See, the guy here is a simpleton. It happened, I was doing a lecture in one of my towns in Natal, Stanger, and the chairman, he happened to be a teacher at the school, he happened to be a chairman, and he's describing me to the audience, said, Mr. Dibad is a simpleton. No, he didn't know, he's a teacher, but he didn't know the implication of what he's saying. And alhamdulillah, the audience also didn't catch the joke. See? So after the meeting, I'm telling him, I says, you know what you did to me? He says, what? I said, you know, you're telling the people that I'm a bloody fool. He says, no. I said, what is a simpleton? Simpleton doesn't mean tongue of simplicity. It means a bloody fool. We Muslims are all simple, simpletons. We get easily put out. Because we are sincere. You know, we have no hidden agendas. So we get caught up. So Dr. Abdullah Nasif, he goes to Rome. And he goes to the Vatican. Vatican is a city-state. It's a city-state independent of Italy. Independent of Rome. It's a state by itself. It's a Vatican City, but it is a state by itself. So he goes to the Vatican City, and he's well received, well received. He goes to a grade of waiting room. He sits down there, waits for a few minutes, and then he's taken to a higher grade of waiting room. He sits there for another 5-10 minutes, and he's taken to still another higher grade of waiting room. Suspense is being created. You will meet the Almighty now. Astaghfirullah. You know, you will meet the Almighty. Yeah, yeah. And in comes the Pope. In comes the Pope. You know, suspense, not in comes the Pope. And charming. He's charming. There's no doubt about that. He's a master psychologist. You know, he's prepared to embrace you. He's prepared to kiss your hands. He will even kiss your feet, if you allow him. I'm telling you. No, he knows what he's going to get out of you. How he's going to tie you up. He knows. He knows he's got his victim. So, he says, I will receive. He says, you come from, you are an Egyptian. He says, no, I'm a Saudi. But he didn't care, or he wasn't told. He's just received. Are you an Egyptian? He says, no, I'm a Saudi. So he says, well, you people do not allow us to build churches in your country. Yes, you don't allow us to build churches in your country. And Abdullah Nasir is a mature man. He's a mature man. So he says, will you allow us to build mosques in your Vatican City, your Vatican State, State of Vatican? He said, no, we don't mean in Makkah and Medina, but in the rest of Saudi Arabia, give us a chance to build churches. So Dr. Abdullah Nasir says, you see, the whole of Saudi Arabia is our Vatican. All is our Vatican. The whole of Saudi Arabia, your Vatican may be 50 square miles. The city-state. Our Vatican is the home of Saudi Arabia. But is that the dialogue that Allah wants you to have with Him? No. I read to you, Allah says, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, ta'ala, come. Ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum. That you come to common terms between us and you. Come, and let us talk. About what? About Allah's wadaniyat. Anna an na'budu illa Allah. That we worship none but Allah. Wa la mushrika bihi shay'an. That we associate no partners with. This is what Allah wants us to talk about. Not about the price of oil in your country or the price of tea. But the guy has got hidden agendas. He's going to get what he wants to get out of you. And now he's waiting. The masjid is built in Rome. And it was with the Pope's blessing. It was the previous Prime Minister or President of Italy who had given permission to King Faisal to purchase that piece of land and build a masjid. The Saudis spent some 35 million, altogether it cost 50 million. Alhamdulillah, that might be a beautiful structure. The first one in Rome. There are 1,000 churches in Rome, among them is this one masjid, alhamdulillah. But now, he's going to make a beeline, he'll be wanting to go to Saudi Arabia. He'll go to the other countries. He said, look, we want to build churches in your country. Look, we allow you to build a mosque. What about allowing us the permission to build churches? Not tit for tat. You know, you've got to reciprocate. You can't clap with one hand. You can't clap with one hand. You clap with two. So he said, look, man, you know, we gave you one hand, you also give it to us. Master geniuses. They know what they're doing. Strategy. Then I go to Malaysia. Tunku Abdul Rahman, the old Prime Minister of Malaysia. So he's asking me, everybody seems to have known about this dialogue of my attempt. Because I printed 250,000 copies of this in English and 250,000 of that in Arabic. For the Arab world and for our world. 250,000. So everybody seems to know that Ahmadinejad was making an attempt to meet His Holiness the Pope for a dialogue. So I meet Tunku Abdul Rahman, he passed away. May Allah give him Jannah to Firdaus. He said, Ahmad, he was older than me. He said, Ahmad, what happened about your debate with the Pope? So I told him the same story, what I told Abdullah Nasif. I said, no, this guy's playing a fool. He's playing a game with us, you know, he's making monkeys out of us. He says, you know, Ahmad, he did it to me too. I said, what did he do? He said, you see, I was in the Mediterranean region, he's in those countries, and his agents got hold of me. And he said, look, man, don't you like to meet His Holiness the Pope? he would like to give you audience, have a dialogue with him. And he bought it. I'm telling you, we Muslims are simpletons. We are simpletons. Even to the Vatican City. Even. And he was well received. Same like Abdullah Nasir, grade one, higher grade, until you meet the Astaghfirullah. And the guy comes in, charming, charming, charming. I'm telling you, he's got charms. So he says, he knew that this man is from Malaysia. He says, you know, three of my priests are caught in Penang, one of the states of Malaysia, where at that time they had a law for drug smuggling death. Now, the whole of Malaysia, that law applies. The whole of Malaysia. Today, if you want to go to Malaysia, and if you apply for a visa, the Malaysian embassy, when they give you the grant of the visa, they put a rubber stamp saying, Dada is dead. You know, Dada is not your grandfather. Dada means drug. In the Malaysian language, Dada means drug. Means drug is dead. You are wrong. You are wrong. Anything to do with drugs, you're going to die. If you still want to go, you're welcome. But you are wrong. You won't catch what of God. Dada is dead. So, but at that time, it was one of these states of Malaysia, death penalty. So he said, can't you intercede with the Penang government to let my people go? Is that the dialogue Allah wants to have with him? No, no, the guy is out to get what he can out of you. But now I'm saying, Your Holiness, if he was available, if I can have a chat with him, I say, Your Holiness, you devote 4 pages to Islam, and you start your chapter. These pamphlets have been given to you all. You must have got them in the packet. If you take them out, you'll see it. Take them out, take them out. It's worth seeing. His Holiness, what he thinks of us. Take out this pamphlet here. It says, Muhammad, that beautiful color picture of him. Also, you see, the Pope. You see, the Pope says, open the first page, inside, and you see this word, Muhammad. See the word Muhammad? You see the word Muhammad? Look, this word Muhammad is not just Muhammad, it's got a question mark. Look. It's got a question mark. What is he questioning? The name? Is this name something abnormal, unnatural? What is it? Why is he putting a question? Muhammad! He said, what's your name? He said, Hitler. He said, Hitler? Hitler? He said, what's your name? He said, Saddam. He said, Saddam? In other words, I'm shocked. When I ask you, you're very rhetoric. You say, what's your name? He said, Saddam. He said, Saddam? Saddam? You Saddam? No, what is this? I'm shocked. I'm amazed. Then you are Saddam. How did your father give you the name? You know, when did he give you the name? How old are you? No. So, he's asking the question. Muhammad! 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 Astaghfirullah. Is this how you would have a dialogue? When you would have a dialogue with a person, is that what I ask him? I say, my name is Ahmad Didak. So, Ahmad? Ahmad? Didak? Didak? What the hell, man? What's wrong with you? You would have a chat with me. How is that how you would treat me? So I said, Your Holiness, you see, you are talking about dialogue. But in this one chapter, 4 pages, you are actually leading the Christians into a war path. He's leading them to war against Islam. He's talking about dialogue. In friendliness, we get together over a cup of tea, we sit down and we chat, we discuss difference of opinions. Why this and why do we disagree with you and why you disagree with me? We chat, we exchange views. No, he's preparing his people for a war against Islam. Words were celerant. You see there inside, number one, Martin Redding, on the side, number one. You see number one. It reads, whoever knows the Old and the New Testaments and then reads the Quran, whoever knows, not just reading, who knows means who understood the message of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then reads the Quran, clearly sees the, and the words, process by which it completely reduces divine revelation. The words process by which it completely reduces divine revelation are in italics. You see, the type is different. Italic means everything in this book in italics means that the Pope with his own hands he underlined it for emphasis. These are in italics, the process by which it completely reduces divine revelation. This is what he's telling his Christian readers, because I don't know how many Muslims have read this. In the first meeting in London, not one. I'm asking the people, is there a single Muslim who owns this book? Who owns this book? Single Muslim. Not one. In the second meeting, another packed hall, I asked the same question, is there a single Muslim who owns this book, or has seen this book? Two persons. In a packed hall of 3,000. Two persons. Don't know if they were Muslims or not, but I take them. They were Muslims. I'm asking the same question here tonight. Is there anyone in Bradford who owns this book? Please put up your hand. I want to reward you. Anybody who's got this Pope's book? Not one? Not one in these 3,000 people here? Amazing, amazing. I have been offering a reward. I said, now there are two reasons why a Muslim is not likely to have this book. Two reasons. I give you one already. I make it easy for you. Number one, the price of this book is £9.99. For this, 244 small pages, newspaper, this paper is like newspaper, small paragraphs. This book here, 244 pages, £9.99. If you gave £10, you get this one penny change, this one. This is this penny here. If you've got time to wait, they'll give you this one penny change. So, number one reason is price. It's too expensive. Prohibitive. That's one of the reasons why you wouldn't be buying a book. Another reason. My sisters, first chance. You give me that reason, I give you this tape of mine. This was supposed to be a debate between me and Swami Agni Vesh, a Hindu in Durban, on the concept of God in Islam, in Hinduism and Islam. I give my daughters a chance first. I gave you one reason already. Give me another reason why a Muslim is not likely to own this book. One was the price. The other one. Please, 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 come, hurry up, quickly. What's the other reason? Give me a reason why a Muslim is not likely to have this book. You haven't got it. One was the price. Prohibitive. Huh? Too clever. No. Huh? One, huh? Come, my daughters. This tape is yours. This is the first tape in the UK. You will be the first person to own this tape in the UK.
How can a Muslim buy this book which has just four pages full of...
When you go to buy the book, you won't know there's only four pages. You might think the whole book is dedicated to you. Yes. I'll tell you. You see, the main reason, I gave you already that money is number one, £9.99. That's number one. Number two, actually that's number one. What I'm giving you now is number one. The number one reason why a Muslim is not likely to own this book, because we are a lycra community, a community that don't read. Allah gives us the first word of wahi, revelation, he says, ikra, read. And we will say, laikra, amnaytarungi. No. If you say that, you are a kafir. Do you know that? Allah says, read, you say, I won't read. You are a kafir. No, you don't say that. But in our behavior, we are a laikra community. We are not a reading people. We don't even read newspapers, man. You don't know what's going on in the world. I'm telling you. So these are the reasons. I have to take the tape back. But these are the two reasons. We are a lycra community. We are not likely to buy. We are honoring those books here. Look, compared to that. Look, hardcover, gold embossed. 200, 240 pages. Silk paper. You know how much? Yes. Right. So it's £5, let's say £5. And if you buy one, you get one free. I'm telling you, look, you buy one, you get one free. No Christian Jew or Hindu can do that, wallah, no. No, I'm telling you, nobody can. To give you a book like this, gold embossed, hardcover, silk paper, and the subject, Islam and Christianity. How to do dawah. Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati. How to invite people, as the Qari read, Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati. Say, invite all to the ways of the Lord with wisdom. Wal maw'izati al-hasanati, and with beautiful preaching. Wajadilhum billati ahsan, and reason with them in the ways that are best and most precious. This book tries to do that. How much? £5 a book, and one you get free. Five for everyone you buy. I said, buy two, man. Buy ten. Give it to your friends, your brother-in-laws, your son-in-laws, your employer, your employee. If you gave them £2.10, because that will be costing you £2.10. Is that because you don't call 10 shillings anymore? 50 pence, £2, 2.50. No. You gave anybody 2.50, you will tell you, thank you, sir, thank you very much, boss. You know, to your employee, but behind your back, this is a very bastard. Give me 2 rand and 50 pence. He said, I couldn't buy a bloody hot dog with this. Am I right? Yeah, I can't buy a bloody hot dog with this £2.50 you gave. But if you gave him a book, he'll never say, I couldn't buy a hot dog with this. Give it to him. Dawa. If you can't talk yourself, let this book do the talking. And they're available. As you are going out, they're available. Buy two, buy four, buy ten. Man, it is the cheapest thing that you can buy on earth today. Cheapest thing on earth. Compared to £9.99 for this measly thing. Right. So I says, now let us have a dialogue. We who are so close to you, Your Holiness, Islam is the only non-Christian faith which makes it an article of faith for its followers to believe in Jesus. And we speak about him and his mother with the utmost respect. You can't compare. There is no comparison with the respect and reverence we have for Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and for his mother. There is no comparison. You, sir, your Christian world, you produce the film called Jesus Christ Superstar. Superstar. In which they portray Jesus as a sodomite, as a gay, homosexual. Do you know that? Their God is a homosexual. He is portrayed as a homosexual in the film Jesus Christ Superstar. And in the Westminster Abbey, in April, Easter. You know Westminster Abbey in London? There's the holiest of holies for the Anglican Church in this country, where the Queen goes, the defender of this faith, the Queen of England, she goes there. Maybe she was there. This is from in my newspaper, data, Sunday Times, April 16th, Easter, 1995. I'm reading what it says. Shock at obscenities in crucifixion play. They had the play of crucifixion that Jesus Christ is born and has grown and at the age of 33 he's getting crucified. Excruciating pain, agony. See, a play in which Jesus Christ was referred to as, you can't never guess. I give you 1,000 guesses, you can never guess what it says here. Jesus Christ is referred to as a sorry-looking bastard. No, this is a Christian talking about their God. This is how they are dressing in the Westminster Abbey. And maybe the Queen of England was there, the defender of faith listening, enjoying the film. A sorry-looking bastard left some of his Westminster Abbey audience shocked and tearful on Good Friday. Good Friday. You know Good Friday? What makes Good Friday good? What makes Good Friday good? Huh? No. Good Friday is good, they say, because Christ died for their sins. That makes it good. They are relieved of all the burdens, of all the sins that they have committed, from Father Adam's sin, the original sin, to the present sins. So that is what makes Good Friday good. Christ died for their sins. The 3-hour production, funded by Methodist, Anglican and Roman Catholic churches. Was defended by the organizers who said it reflected the spirit of Christ, trial and crucifixion. In one scene, an actor remarked to another as they carried the cross into the abbey, "If you drop it, I'll cut your balls off." No, this is in your newspaper. Did you read it? You guys, I want to know whether you read this. No, then it was, you don't buy newspapers. He said, "Your local newspapers you don't even buy. You don't know what's going on in the world. What's happening in the church? You don't know. I'm only reading, and you're going to say, these are talking filthy, dirty language." He said, "If you drop it, that cross they were carrying." He said, "I'll cut your balls off." During the crucifixion, Christ was taunted with shouts of, "Jew boy, Jew boy, Jew boy." That in the Westminster Abbey, like in the holiest of holies, like in St. Peter's in Rome. If it was happening there, same thing would have happened. The ending is, there's a lengthy thing there. So the playwright Justin Butcher, a practicing Anglican, not just nominal, a practicing one who goes to church regularly, a practicing Anglican, was unrepentant, saying, "You have to convey a degree of violence and humiliation to make this story real. Your Holiness, compared to your own people, what you are talking about, your God and your Lord, calling him bastard, calling him Jew boy. The Quran speaks of him in the highest terms. But you run us down by saying, in that page there it says, as Jesus is mentioned, this is what the Pope says, but only as a prophet. In the Quran, he says Jesus is mentioned, but only as a prophet who prepares for the last prophet, Muhammad. Only as a prophet. I said, "Your Holiness, you are not candid. You are hiding something. Maybe you are ignorant. Maybe you didn't read the Quran. But from your other writings, I can see that you have been studying the Quran. As a pope, as a cardinal for so many years, and now becoming a pope, you must have known this religion of these people, 1 billion Muslims in the world, how close they are to you." He said, "Only as a prophet." I said, "You know, Your Holiness, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is mentioned as Al-Masih in the Quran. Al-Masih meaning the Christ, the anointed one. Ibn Maryam, son of Mary. Abdullah, servant of Allah. Rasulullah, servant of Allah, messenger of Allah. The Spirit of God, a sign of God, the Word of God. All these are the references to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And do you know, Your Holiness, that he is mentioned 25 times in the Holy Quran. By name, 25 times he is mentioned by name. Whereas my own prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is mentioned only 5 times. Do you know that? 500% more times Jesus is mentioned, and he says only a prophet. Look, you are not candid. Look, you are not honest. You are trying to bluff the people. You are deceiving the people. You are taking them that these people are, you know, they count us for nothing, like rubbish. 25 times. And you say, then he continues, "There is also mention of Mary, there is also mention of Mary, also mention of Mary, his virgin mother, also mention, also mention." I said, "Do you know how many times Mary is mentioned in the Quran? But let me ask you, Your Holiness, in this book of yours, this mother of God, they call her mother of God, Maryam is mother of God, Allah's mother, God's mother. Because Jesus is God and his mother is the mother of God. Maryam is his mother. He's the mother. She's the mother of God. That's what they call her in the Catholic Church. This mother of God, how many times is she mentioned in your Bible?" He's not likely to know. He won't know. I said, "Sir, Your Holiness, the mother of God is mentioned in your Bible in the first 3 books, Matthew, Mark and Luke, 17 times. 17 times. 1-7. And in the next 24 books, there are 27 books of the New Testament, 27. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, Acts, Corinthians, Philippians, Galatians. There are 27 books. In the first 3, Mary, Maryam is mentioned 17 times. And in the next 24 books, once. Total 18. 18 times in the whole Bible, this encyclopedia. Or you have the same encyclopedia in this form here. She is mentioned 18 times. Do you know how many times she is mentioned in the Quran? 100% more times. Can you believe it? This is the book of the enemy. It's the only mention. She's only mentioned. Only mentioned 100% more times than in your Bible, man. How sick can you be that you can't see? 100% more times. Actually, 32 times. Again, 17, 32. It's almost 100%. 100% more times. And do you know, Your Holiness, that there is a chapter in the Quran called Surah Maryam, chapter Mary, in honor of the name of the mother of Jesus Christ. You haven't got anything like that in your Bible. You have nothing like that. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, blah, 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 and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul. But there is no such thing as Mary in your book. Bible, do you know that? In the Quran, there is a chapter called Surah Maryam in honor of the name of the mother of Jesus Christ. Why are you bluffing your people? Why don't you tell them frankly what is the position of Maryam alayhi salam, Mary, the saintly mother of Jesus, and the son himself? What does the Quran say? Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to estrange the Christians, trying to provoke them against the Muslims by liberating the Muslims? Then on the first page, coming back to the first page again, that item one, we have, whoever knows the Old and the New Testaments, and then reads the Quran, that item one, in red, and then reads the Quran, clearly sees the process by which it completely reduces divine revelation. I say, you know what it means? Debases, reduces means debases, degrades, demotes, diminishes. Divine revelation means God's words. That's what the Quran is doing. That is what the Quran is doing, he says. Telling his people that these are the enemies. The Muslims are the enemies. They degrade divine revelation. I said, I beg your pardon, Your Holiness. This is a dialogue taking place. I beg your pardon, Your Holiness. I says, what are you talking about? You see, if you are in the kindergarten, doing Baba black sheep, fingering a rosy, you start studying, you are schooling A, B, C, D, you start with A, B, and you carry on. You pass your standard 6, you pass your metric, you go into university, and you get a degree called BA. From A, B you started, and now you reach BA. Now, you in the BA, are you degrading that EB classes? AB classes, are you? No. You elevating them from that AB, from the gutter, from Baba, black sheep, bringing a rosy, you bring them to the heights of BA, Bachelor of Arts. What you doing? You elevating. You're not diminishing that poor child's education. This is how. You bring it up, bring it up. Let us see what the Quran does. What does your Bible say? Your concept of God. He says there, you'll find there, reference in the last page, he says, our faith, the last page, where you find the picture of Didat and the Pope, you see that in red, our faith, you know what is our faith? Meaning Christianity. Our faith means Christianity. Is profoundly anthropological. Profoundly means deeply, intensely, most, you know, emphatically anthropological. You know what he's saying? What is anthropology? We haven't been to all those standards to know all these words. Let me help you. Anthros in Greek means man. Anthropology is the study of man. You know how from ancient times, how man discovered the deadwood floats, how he discovered fire, how he discovered how to make metal, spear points, make knives. This is the study of man through archaeology. You find out our great grandfathers 5,000 years ago, what was the condition of their civilization and what knowledge that they had, and on, that is called anthropology, the study of man. Not his body, not his physiology, but his history. Anthropological means to think of God after our man's own pattern. You think of God like yourself. Anthropomorphism is the term applied. You think of God after your own pattern. You think that Allah is also like you. God is like you. And like a poet says, the Ethiopian gods have Ethiopian lips. He's the African. You know, you have to take me. That's his concept of God. The most beautiful God he can think of is with Ethiopian lips, not like the Chinese. To the Chinese, the crooked eyes is the most beautiful thing. Do you know that? A Chinese student at the university in America, when he was qualified and returning home, they asked him, what's the funniest thing you see here in America? He says, you see, you Americans, you have crooked eyes. Your eyes are crooked. You know, his crooked eyes is to him, that is the right angle of having the eyes. Yours is to him is crooked. No, this is the nature of man. To the Chinese, the God will look like a Chinese. And to the Indian, he might look like an Indian. Our Rama, our Krishna, they don't look like Indians, no doubt. The Ethiopian gods have Ethiopian lips, and bronze cheeks and woolly hair. And the Grecian gods are like the Greeks. You know, muscular, Apollo, Hercules. You see them in the statues. Their gods are all, you know, muscular, you know, all Apollos and Hercules. And so his God, he says, is profoundly anthropological. And that applies to every church, whether he's a Jehovah's Witness, he's the Seventh-day Adventist, a Christadelphians, any sect and denomination of Christendom. The concept of God is that of a man. That Allah, God Almighty, is another man, like a man, but glorified man. We all are glorified monkeys. You know that? Some of us look like chimpanzees, some like gorillas, some like baboons, some like orangutans. No, but we are more glorified than that. Allah, God Almighty, according to them, will be more glorified than us. But he'll be like a man. And the Holy Bible starts, book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. It says, God created man in his image. In his image, his own image, in his likeness. So what's the image of Adam? He was a man, same. Adam was like you and me. So God will be also like that. So I said, your book says, first chapter of the book of Genesis, first chapter. It says 9 times, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God said, let there be this, and there was light, and God said 9 times. So I'm asking the Christians, and you can also ask the Christians, that when God said 9 times, he said, what did he say with his mouth? Or was he speaking through his head? No, no, the answer is to speaking with his mouth. I said, this God of yours, has he got teeth? Has he got teeth? Can you believe me? Can you say, no, this God is a toothless God? But when he said, let there be light, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Is that how your God talks? When I can talk better than that? Every Tom, Dick and Harry, you can articulate better than that. You know, your God said, let there be light, and there was light. Is that, he's got teeth? No, you see, learn to talk, man. He's got to say yes. He's got to say, he can't say a toothless God. He says, then he's got a tongue. Say yes. Has he got knowledge and lung? He's got to say yes. Then how did he create? The Bible says that by faith we know that the heavens and the earth were created by the word of God, and that the things visible came through the force invisible. Beautiful. Everything came through that invisible force. Allah says, but you samawati wal ard, to whom is due the primal origin of the heavens and the earth, wa iza qada amran fa innama yakunu lahu kun fayakun. Whenever he decrees a matter, he says, with be, and it is. He willed it, and the thing came to be. Everything. But now you say, he spoke his words, one, and there are millions of things he has created. Man, if he keeps on shouting, sun, moon, stars, dog, pig, donkey, his mouth goes dry. Because he's going to take in that and take it out, take in that, and every time he's articulating, he's reducing the moisture from his mouth, you find that his tongue is getting parched, his throat is getting dry, he wants lubrication. Naturally, because if he's like you and me, as you are, I need some. Look, thank God Almighty, he was doing the same thing for millions and millions. I only spoke a few words now, and I feel like having something to lubricate my mouth. But when lubricates, he doesn't just take a sip. You need a little satisfaction. So God also must need that satisfaction. So he takes some extra water to go down. Feel nice. Because he's like us. If you feel nice, he'll also feel nice. that what goes in must come out. Or everything that goes in doesn't remain there, it must have a way out. Can you imagine? So, as a humane man, and he put them in the garden with the instructions. You have the concept of God. We are describing the concept of God, anthropological. He's thinking of God like a man. That's in his Bible. And this is Judeo-Christian tradition. The Jews and the Christians, all, they have based their ideas upon this book, the Bible. Judeo-Christian. He calls it Judeo-Christian. So, he puts them in the garden. Adam and Eve, with instructions. Eat anything and everything in the garden. Except that tree, in the midst of the garden, the fruit of that tree, thou shalt not eat. Because the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Mar jayega, tu mar jayega. I'll kill you. Or it might be poisonous, you'll die. The day you eat, you're going to surely die. Shaitan seems to have overheard that. That dialogue between Adam and God. So he tells Eve, he says, you know that tree, that fruit is very good to eat. If you eat that, you're going to live forever. You shall not surely die. The word of God shall surely die. He just adds the word not. You shall not surely die. And Adam and Eve, they ate. And Adam lived after that for 930 years. Says the Bible. The God said, you're going to die. The devil said, you shall not die. Who's speaking the truth? Shaitan or God? The Bible says, who's speaking the truth? Shaitan is speaking the truth. Because Adam lived for 930 years. God lied. This God lied in the Bible. He says, you're going to die, and he didn't live for 930 years. That means God was lying, was bluffing. 930 years he lived. But when Adam and Eve act, they realize that they were naked. They were naked all along. But they were innocent, like little babies, little children. When you are 5-year-old, 4-year-old, you're playing with your sister, naked in the tub. Nothing wrong with it. You don't know what's what. Your sister doesn't know what's what. But as you grow older, you realize that it's not done. Separation. So Adam and Eve were grown up people, mature. But in their mind, they were like little babies. They didn't know what was what. As soon as they act, they realize that, hey, we are different. Each of us are different from the other. We have sexual parts, sexual organs. Ooh. So they started plucking leaves to cover themselves up. And the book says, and Adam heard the footsteps of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, in the late afternoon. For Adam heard his footsteps. Adam heard the footsteps of God walking. I'm only reading your book, man. And Adam heard the footsteps of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But I say, you know, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, he says he's God. The second person of the Trinity in the New Testament, he says that God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit, not in form, shape or size. Now when spirits walk, how do you hear the footsteps? Even the spirits are a million miles long. How do you hear the spirit's footsteps, you tell me? So he must be like a gorilla, like King Kong. No. That you can hear his footsteps, and Adam heard and he just hide away, he must be like a mighty King Kong. You know King Kong? Have you seen King Kong? I saw it. First time when the sound came out, it came on sound. Shh, so realistic. Unbelievable. I used to believe everything. I see. When I see that girl, the lady in that King Kong's, that moved his gorilla's hand like that, and I can see she's cringing. I believe. I said, how did they take these pictures? How did they do this? I didn't know about photography, what they can do on film. I didn't know. But I say, look at it, man. There's something like King Kong, bigger than King Kong, walking in the garden, boom, boom, boom. You have got that. That's your God. And Adam hides himself away in the bushes. So God comes along and he stands and searches for Adam and Eve. I thought he's all knowing God. He knows everything. He's all seeing. He sees everything. But no, this God doesn't. He can't see. So he shouts, I'm only reading your book, man. Your holiness, I'm reading your book. Your book says, he can't find Adam and Eve. So he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Tu kahan hai? Adam, Adam, tu kahan hai? Can you believe it?
This all-knowing God, the all-seeing God, he doesn't know Adam anyway. Or maybe he knew. No. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He knew. But he was playing a game. You see, according to the Christians, they're telling us that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost were in the heavens for billions of years. They were alone, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alone. Nothing. No creation. Nothing. Father. And what were they doing? What were they doing? For billions of years, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, what are they doing? They detain everything. Father says, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. The Son says, yes, Daddy. And the Holy Ghost says, yes, Papa. Yes. He says, 2 × 2 = 5. So the Son says, yeah, Daddy. Yes, Papa. Man, damn it all, if you keep on doing little, for millions of years, you get bored to death. Wallah. He's like, man, he get bored to death in 5 minutes, you know. For billions of years, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, detailing everything. All in the same wavelength. Whatever this one says, it's like, yes. Whatever that one says, this one says, yes. Can you imagine the monotony of these people living together for billions of years, doing little. Now, he's got a toy to play with. This Father has got a toy to play with. Adam and Eve, since playing the game of hide and seek. That game I play with my grandchildren. And I don't know whether you do the same. You might do the same. You see, when I go home, my grandchild, 3-year-old, he's waiting for me in the doorway. I get out of the car, I go to the door, open door, he's standing there. He's welcoming me. He's there to welcome me. And I look at the ceiling. I say, Rais, Tukache. That's my language. He says, where are you? Rais is his name. Tukache. She says, Papa, I'm here. No, I'm not looking. As if I don't hear. I say, Rais, Tukache, where are you? And the poor child believes that I can't see him. You know it? So God Almighty wants to play a game, and after billions of years of that monotony, he's got 2 toys, the Adam and Eve, so he wants to play a game with them. Maybe then. Or he didn't know. Maybe he didn't know. Or maybe he's playing a game. You tell me. You Christian, tell me. What was he doing? So Adam peeped through the bushes. He said, I'm here. He said, why do you behave like that? Look, he doesn't know. God doesn't know. Why that God behaving like that? He said, why do you behave like that? He doesn't know. Using his own way, but he doesn't know why the guy is behaving like that. So he says, no, because I was naked. He said, who told you were naked? You're not supposed to know. Who told you? He doesn't know. He said, have you been eating of the fruit? Look, he doesn't know. This God doesn't know whether this guy, because he had the fruit, and this was the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, now he realizes that he's naked. He doesn't know. Poor God. So, he said, have you been eating of the fruit? He says, it's the woman that God gave us to me. She made me to eat the cow, our father. He's blaming the woman. I'm blaming Allah. If you didn't give me this woman, I wouldn't be in trouble. You gave me this woman, and look what she did to me. She got me into trouble. Blaming Allah. Blaming the poor woman. God is our father, the coward. May Allah forgive me for saying all these things. He wasn't like that. Allah, he wasn't like that. But now, this is what they're telling me. Right. And when God made man, he tells in verse 31, he says, it's very good. What he made before that, in 6 days he made everything. He says, it's good. What he made, he says, good. Mashallah. Very good. No, he said, good. Now when he made Adam and Eve, this is the best of his creation. Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰهُ is that we have created you. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. So most certainly we have created man in the best of molds. But now he says, very good. Everything was good. Man and woman, very good. But by the time he reaches chapter 6 of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 6, it says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man. He repented the Lord that he had made man and grieved him at his heart. He used the pain, making this very monster. For this monster now, in the year 4000 after Adam, he'll have to go and live in a woman's womb for 9 months, nourished by the menstruation, which is the nourishment of every human child. That will be his food in his mother's womb, and he'll come out to the same opening like every human child with all the filth and the muck, which makes his mother impure for 40 days. That's what the Bible says. She was impure for 40 days. The lubrication.
Everybody needs it. So also this God also needed it. And on the 8th day he was circumcised, painfully bleeding and crying. He had to go through all that. You know why? Because he couldn't forgive. He didn't forgive. The man says, I forgot, and this God can't forgive. And the Christians say, he's a loving Father in heaven. He's kind, compassionate, merciful, not like your God. Your God is a tyrant. Your God is bloodthirsty. Our God is a loving Father in heaven. But this loving Father in heaven couldn't forgive the man. And for that now he's going to pay the price himself, born in a woman's womb for 9 months, and castrate himself there, and then born like any other human child with all the filth and the muck. He's had to go through all that. So he said, he repented the Lord that he had made man and grieved him at his heart. You have got that. That your God. Then chapter 11, verse 7. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're still together in heaven. From there they're seen down on earth. Babylon, Middle East. They see Babylon. They see a high activity. See, the people are running around. Like sometimes you see on the fast video, when you put the film on fast. Same thing. They see from heaven. There's a lot of high activity. People running around. And the father doesn't know what's going on. So he's telling his son and the Holy Ghost. He said, let us go down. Let us go down and see what the Son of Man is doing. This bloody rubbish. What is he doing? You need to go and see. So they come down. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they come down from the heaven. And say, hey, this guy here, they discover that he is discovered now. Bitumen. Colta. You know colta you use for your roads. Colta, bitumen. And they discovered how to make bricks. Prior to that, they were building houses with raw bricks. And there's a limit to the height you can go with raw bricks. And with spit and sand, you know, a splaster. There's a limit to what you can do. Now they discovered bitumen and they learned how to build bricks so they can put up bigger structures. And they started building a tower. A tower. So the father is terrified. He says, you know, this guy here, he's going to reach us. Look, that's what the Bible says, that this guy is going to reach us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in heaven. You know, the tallest, long, tallest man-made structure on earth is the CN Tower in Toronto. It's worth visiting. If you are in Toronto, go up to the top. There's some small fee. I went up. And from the top I can see motor cars look like cockroaches. No, it's worth experiencing that. But that then being the highest man-made building on earth, hasn't reached the clouds yet. Do you know that? With all your steel and concrete and your technology, you haven't reached the clouds yet in the 20th century. You think with bitumen and big bricks, they'll reach the heavens? This man knew. But the God got frightened. He said, this guy's going to reach us. You know, they're going to come up and up, drilling, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are relaxed on their couches, and this guy goes on through his life, in his buttocks. This is it, the man has reached it. What the hell is this? Huh? He is here. Can you imagine? You bloody rubbish, little things. You, the Toronto Tower hasn't reached the clouds and you don't reach his heaven. Mars, Jupiter and beyond with your big bricks and bitumen. So he confused your language. He said, God, confuse your language. Now, prior to that, everybody is speaking the same language. There's unity. Now God confused the language. God confused your language. There's a lanat, there's a curse. So now you're speaking Chinese, water, the guy brings sand. The guy's shouting Zulu, sand, he brings blocks. So they couldn't complete the project. You have got that. We are told in the Quran, look, he says, no. He says, Allah gives this. From among his sign, from in ayatihi, inna khalqi samawati wal ardi, is the creation of the heavens and the earth, wakhtilafu al-sinatikum, and the variation of your languages, walwanikum, and your features, this is a miracle of Allah's creation. Your language is a miracle of Allah's creation. That's what the Quran says. They say, no, it's a curse. Allah's curse, you talk in different languages. I says, Your Holiness, what are you doing? Come, Your Holiness, let us see. It says here, the council has also called for the church to have a dialogue with followers of the Prophet. To have a dialogue with followers of the Prophet. Prophet meaning our Nabi Kareem, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you see that there, I want you to see that in the paper I gave you. Item 4. See item 4 there? In the red ink? 4. Right. The council in the Roman Catholic Church, has also called for the church to have a dialogue with followers of the prophet. But when the Pope is saying that, look at me, he said the council has also called for the church to have a dialogue with the followers of the prophet. He's doing like that, the Pope. You see my fingers? With the followers of the prophet. He said, Your Holiness, why do you do like that? Are your fingers itching? You know why he does that? Because the word prophet is in inverted commas. Can you see that? So you can't say inverted commas. He says the followers of the prophet. Meaning inverted commas. You know what it means? Your Holiness, you want to have a dialogue. Let's clarify the terms. Let us talk on what we are talking about. Whether we mean the same thing. You said followers of the prophet. What is that for? What is this? What do you mean? What do you mean? What is this mean? What are you applying? You know what it means? What that means? What it means? Come, what does it mean? Means is not what I say. This is what people say. Prophet is what people say. I don't believe it. So if you prophet without that inverted commas, it means these are his words. He said, well, sir, you said you believe him as a prophet. I said, no. The prophet I put in inverted commas. Meaning that's what you people say, prophet. I don't say that. These are your words. I'm only quoting. Hadith. Look what the guy is doing. And he wants to have a dialogue. Huh? Then on page 43 again, he does the same thing. The prophet Muhammad, prophet in inverted commas. Twice he puts the word prophet in inverted commas. So why do you do that? You want to have a dialogue. We accept Jesus as one of the mightiest messengers of God. We believe in his miraculous birth, which many modern day Christians, including the bishops of the Anglican Church, they don't believe today. And what we believe? We believe that he gave life back to the dead by Allah's permission. He healed your bone rather than the lepers by Allah's permission. And you call my prophet. You call my prophet? Why do you do that? Why don't you accept him as a prophet? Let's talk back. You want to have a dialogue? Let's talk back. Sisters, you see, I can't accept him as a prophet. Why? Your Holiness, why? He said, you see, Muhammad had how many wives? 9 wives? Or 11? What's Shamsha there? Our Nabi, how many wives did he have? At one time, at the most? 9. Right. 9 wives. I can't accept a man having 9 wives, a prophet of God. Your Holiness, there's something wrong with you. You are blind. You are blind. In your holy book, the Bible. Your Bible says about Solomon the wise. It speaks about the wisdom of Solomon, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, 1,000 at a time. 1,000, and is described as the son of God. In the Bible, in your Bible, he is called the son of God with 1,000 wives and concubines. And that doesn't get stuck in your throat? And you never get stuck in your throat? Well, you got double standard. You got double standard. 1,000 wives and concubines, and so on. He's a wise man. What kind of wisdom is this? Can you imagine if he has one every night? You're taking 3 years for the first one's turn to come. Do you know that? 3 years! Every woman is going to wait 3 years for her second turn. And you call the man wise. Can a man be wise? Holding your wife for 3 years before she gets her turn again. And another one, 3 years, everyone got to wait three years. And that doesn't get stuck in your throat. But Muhammad's 9 wives or 11 wives, they're getting stuck in your throat. You better understand that, Your Holiness. Come now, talk. Oh, you see, he performed no miracles. We start reasoning that the greatest of his miracles. And said, look, I don't see all that. He didn't find the air like a bird, did he? Did he walk on the water with Jesus? Did he make water into wine? He says, no. But you see, my Jesus did. So Muhammad didn't do all that. So he's disqualified. I says, Your Holiness, you don't know your book, man. Your Jesus, your second part of the Trinity, the second God, number two, God number two, Jesus. He's telling about John the Baptist. Yahya alayhi salam. They called him John the Baptist. He said, among those born of women, he was a human being, among those born of women, there has not risen another greater than John the Baptist. The greatest of the Jewish prophets is John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam, according to Jesus, your God. He testified about John, Yahya alayhi salam, that he is the greatest of the Jewish prophets. And yet he performed no miracles. He performed no miracles. What's wrong with you? And Jesus said, for they, the false prophets, shall arise, for they shall arise many false prophets and false Christs, who will show you great signs and wonders, if it were possible to deceive the very elect. So, prophet, miracles is no proof that even a man is a man of God or a man of truth. What are you talking about? Come, let us have a dialogue. And I want you, my brothers and sisters, to master these little pieces. Get these tapes. Get this book. £5 each. And one free. £5 each and one free. And arm yourself with knowledge that you can talk. As the Qari read, Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati. Invite all to the ways of the Lord with wisdom. Wal mawazatil hasanati. And with beautiful preaching. Wajadilhum billati ahsan. And reason with them in the ways that are best and most gracious. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Thank you very much, Chef. I don't think we can thank you enough for the work you did with Zara. The best we can do is say thank you very much.
To finally recap on today's program, Brother Shamshad will surely come on the stage. There will be question and answer session following a couple of announcements that Brother Shamshad will surely make. Following that, we will then conclude today's meeting with dua from Qari Sahib. Brother Shamshad.
Brothers and sisters, as I mentioned earlier, there is question time, and that happens to be the most interesting part of Shaykh's meeting. Most interesting time during his talk. So please, if you have any questions, at the ground level, come forward. Sisters, please write your questions and pass them to either end. And the brother will receive it from you and pass it to the Shaykh for the answer. One important announcement, that is about Shaykh's next program, that is not very far from here, and it is tomorrow. In the date, 12:15 p.m., that is 12:15, tomorrow at Dar-e Ahlul Bayt, 35 Hanover Square, and that is in Leeds. 35 Hanover Square, Leeds, tomorrow, 12:15. My brothers and sisters, while you're coming forward to present your questions, I would like to draw your attention to the envelopes which you found on your seats. The contents of the envelopes are very important, but I would like you to, in particular, pay attention to this leaflet. Sheikh Ahmed Nida's message to you today is Udu Sabina Rafita bin Hitman. Call them to the ways of thy Lord with hikmah and beautiful preaching, with wisdom and beautiful preaching. This leaflet outlines IPCI's National Dawah Program. I would like you to take part in it. This is a very comprehensive Dawah Program, and it gives you the opportunity of approaching your friends, neighbors, and whosoever wishes to acquire more information about Islam. But in order to be able to program, you have to have certain knowledge. So now, how do you find that knowledge? And here is an opportunity for you, one of the opportunity to acquire this book as advertised in the gift that is rendered for $4.99, but here is a one opportunity to acquire two, to buy two for the price of one. If you go outside this exit, you will find a display and a store on your way out. If you want to use this exit, then you have to walk around and then you can come to buy you where the store is maintained to sell these books. Brothers and sisters, after the questions and answers, please remain seated because inshallah we shall conclude this program with a book, with a supplication inshallah. First question.
I would like to ask
Are we allowed to study
the Quran and Bible together, being a Muslim? Thank you.
My dear brother, you don't have to read the Bible, you don't have to study the Bible. But, if you are living in an environment where the people only know one book, every person you meet is a one book professor. He will tell you anything you talk, discuss. He will say, whatever you tell him, he says, my Bible says this, my Bible says that. My Bible says this, my Bible says that. And what are you going to say? I don't believe in the Bible, I don't believe in the Bible. My Quran says this, my Quran says that. Because I don't believe in the Quran. What are you going to talk? He says, he doesn't believe in the Quran, and you say, I don't believe in the Bible. No communication. So Allah is telling us in the Quran. وَقَالُوا and they say, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُدًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. That you Muslims will never enter Jannah. There is no heaven for you. Unless, says the Yahudi, you become a Yahudi, a Jew. Or unless you become a Nasara, says the Christian. That is what Allah says. And that is the fact. The Christians are coming and knocking at our doors. And they, I want you people to put up your hand that this, there is a Muslim here whose house, whose door has not been knocked by a Christian yet. No Christian has ever come to your house yet to knock at your door. Please put up your hand and see how many of you are here that you have been saved from the Christian coming along and harassing you. Put up your hand. Not one. You understand my English. That no Christian has come to your house yet knocking at your door to talk to you. Is there anybody here? No. 100% of our people are being harassed. And how are you going to talk to them? You've got to know something about his religion. So Allah says, Qul, tell them how to burhan. Whatever the guy claims, he said, Jesus is God, this is your burhan. Christ died for your sins, this is your burhan. Sin is inherited, this is your burhan. Your proof. Allah is telling you to ask him for proof. So he produced it. He said, yeah, here's my proof. So what do you mean? Because I don't touch it. Huh? Allah is telling you to ask him for proof. For a certificate. Like you're going to Mecca, and halfway there is a police post there. They stop your car at times. You say, Ikama. You know Ikama? Here's your passport. And you don't understand what the hell is the guy talking about. Maybe you take out your diary. Me. And I give it to him. So I don't touch it. It's very funny. You ask for Ikama, I give it to you. But if he picked it up and looked at it, and he gave a broad smile, he said, look, this is a diary, I'm an Ikama. I don't understand. So he tells another guy, they said, tell him, passport. So he said, hey, here is your passport. I said, oh, like that. When I present him something, whatever it is, bloody rubbish, he's got to handle it. Because you're asking for it. I want your passport. So here. Yeah. So he said, this is having a good laugh. He said, this guy is a bloody fool. Simpleton. He's a simpleton, you see. This is a passport. He says, Ikama. I said, no. Ikama. I still don't understand. So he tells somebody else, tell him, Ikama. So he said, hey, passport. So Allah says, and anybody makes any claim, Qul, tell them, ha, tu burhanakum.
In kuntum swadikin, if you are speaking the truth, let us have a look at your proof. And there is no better way to fight the enemy than with his own weapons. Try otherwise. You are making a fool of yourself. And we are not talking, you know why? Because we don't know what to talk about. We are at cross purposes. He's talking about the original sin, you don't know what the hell that is. He's talking about redemption, you don't know what the hell that is. We don't know. So you don't know what to talk. You can say you're going to go to hell, he says you're going to go to hell. He says your book is false, he says your book is false. No. You have to learn to reason. The way I was doing tonight, I said, look, this is what your book says. Your Pope says that your religion is anthropological, and now look, I prove to you what it means. If you didn't understand, I'll show it to you. He means that God is like a man. If that is your idea, if it is that what you want, go ahead. You want to worship a man God, a God who looks like a man, who hungers and thirsts? That's your business. You have freedom, choice. But there is no better way, my brother. If you can, by all means, but you are not. Every Muslim is not supposed to study the Bible. It's not for everybody. But the guy wants to do the job, you need that weapon. Without that, you can't do the job. No alien can do the job, I'm telling you, if he doesn't master that enemy's weapon. One at a time. What do you do? One question from the male, one from the lady. Okay, one at a time. One. To be fair. Now let me finish. The Prophet, peace be upon him, never addressed other religions in an aggressive nature as you do. Do you think your approach to spread and understand Islam is better, or the Prophet's amicable and courteous nature to others, other faiths? Right. Now, our sister, she has a right. She has a right to have her opinion, to say that is in aggressive nature as you do. I don't know when you speak the truth. It does sound militant, it might sound offensive, and we are told in the Holy Quran that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So most certainly in the Apostle of Allah, you have the best example. You accept? Can you be fair with that? Allah is testifying that in the Prophet of Allah, you have the best example. But do you know that the mushriks of Makkah took offense against his preaching? Do you know that? Do you know his own people, they loved him. Before he made his pronouncement of Allah's wahdaniyat, Allah, they gave him a title, As-Sadiqul Wa'dul Amin. As mushriks, they gave this title to the Nabi, that he is As-Sadiqul Wa'd, a person who is true to his word, is Al-Amin, he is the truthful, the sincere, the faithful. This is what they called him. As soon as he opened his mouth about Allah's wahdaniyat, they wanted to kill him. It sounded offensive. This one is aggressive. This one is militant. Look, the best of mankind, the best example is creating offense. Maybe he didn't know how to talk. Maybe you know how to talk. Our alims know how to talk with hikmah. He didn't know hikmah. If you were there, would you have told him, Ya Rasulullah, you know Allah says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 125, Udu ila sabili rabbika bi hikmati. Invite all to the ways of the Lord with wisdom, meaning that he doesn't know wisdom. I want to know whether you would have told him that. That you sound aggressive. Look, these people are getting irritated. They want to kill you. He had to flee for their life. All the sahabas that make migrations to Abyssinia. Why? Because they didn't know how to talk. Then he goes to Medina, and in Medina he starts with the Jews. You know, they still, Badr is still waiting, and Uhud is still waiting, and Khandaq is still waiting. Huh? They won't let him go. And now he starts with the Jews. If you were the Sahaba, his companion, would you have told him, Ya Rasulullah, look man, you have saved our son of his, by the skin of our teeth you have been saved, you have come around Elijah, and now you're starting with the Jews. You know, use some wisdom, man. You know, why are you provoking people, and the Jews, and the Munafiqs, four different groups of people, all wanting to kill this man of God? You know why? Because he didn't know how to talk. Huh? Is that what it is? Maybe he sounded aggressive. And the message of Islam is militant.
Do you know that? Allah says, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, La taghlu fi dinikum. That's how Allah talks. No, Allah doesn't talk like that. Says, Qul, say, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, La taghlu fi dinikum. Don't go to extremes in your religion. وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. And don't say anything about Allah except the truth. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ مُوسَى بْنُ الْمَسَيَّحَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ جِزْدَ الْسَنَةَ مَرْيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ is the messenger of Allah. وَقَلِمَتُهُ and a word proceeding from him. أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِنْهُمْ which he bestowed upon Mary and a spirit proceeding from him. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. So believe in Allah and his messenger. This is how Allah talks.
سَوَلَاكَتُمْ سَلَاسَةً.
That's not my Allah, that's not my Rasul. I don't know what ideas you have about Rasulullah, how he did he do the job. You have, I don't know what. Look, he said, وَلَا تَكُونُ سَلَاسَ. When you tell somebody, hey, don't say Trinity. How do you say Trinity? You know? Stop it. But maybe. You see, your husband's had it and your father's got that chicken voice. I don't know. Look, Allah has made me a lion. I'm not acting. I'm telling you, I'm not acting. This is what Allah has given to me. As the chairman said, I'm 77 years old, 78. Look at this. No, your grandfather, 77 years old, he can never do that. Do you know that? Huh? He can never talk like this. Do you know that? So what are you blaming me? If I sound militant, I'm militant. This is Islam expects each and every Muslim to be militant. So وَلَا تَقُلُوا سَلَاسَ. Don't say Trinity. إِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. This is perfect, it'll be better for you. إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. For you Allah is one Allah, there's no three known. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Whoever says that Jesus Christ the Son of Mary is God is making kufr. He's making kufr. It's an act of blasphemy, treason against Allah. وقال المسيح but Masih said يا بني إسرائيل أو children of Israel لعبد الله worship Allah ربي وربكم who is my Lord and your Lord إنه من يشرك بالله whoever will associate anyone with Allah فقد حرم الله له الجنة حرم الله له الجنة Allah will forbid him paradise ومأواه النار and the fire of hell will be the dwelling place وما للظالمين من أنصار and for the wrongdoers will be thrown into hell this is how Allah taught If you listen to him, this is how he talks. And if I try to reproduce his militancy, you say, I sound aggressive. I don't know, my sister. You have a billion Muslims in the world who can bleat like goats. That's the choice. You can bleat in Tatina. I just can't do that. I don't mind myself. I'm Ahmad Didat. That's what it is. If you like me, okay. If you don't like me, pray for me.
My question is, in the light of what the Bible mentions about the conversation between God and Adam in Jannah, when God asks questions and then gets answers from Adam, how can we interpret some ayahs and hadith of Prophet, especially hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, for example, وَيَبْقَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ أَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ etc. And then some hadith where Allah asks Jibreel, who are those people and what are they doing in the mosque? And these questions. Allah, as we know, better knows these things. But I think there is an interpretation for these ayahs. JazakAllah.
You see, in the Holy Quran, you are told that on the day of judgment, Allah will ask Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Go Isa. Did you tell your followers to worship you and your mother besides Allah? He says, Ya Bari Tala, you know I never did any such thing. If I had done it, you would have known it. And as long as I was with them, I was a witness over them to see that they didn't blaspheme, didn't do kufr. But after you took me up, you know what they did. So, إِن تُعَزِّهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ So, if you forgive them, they are your servants. They are your property, you can do what you like with them. Or if you punish them, they are your servants. They are your property, you can do what you like with them. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ
But if you forgive them, you are exalted in mind, you are wise, this is your prerogative, you can do what you like. Now, what is it now? Is it now with Allah speak? Yes, He will speak, but not this. Allah is telling us in the Quran what He is, the Laysa Kamithli Shay. Not only nothing like Him, but nothing is the like, the likeness of Him that you can imagine. He hasn't got a mouth with lips and with teeth and tongue and larynx and lung. This is your concept of God. God is not like that. He is beyond the imagination of the mind of man. You know He exists, you know He is real, but He is not like the way they portray about Him. That this God is like this, and He hungers and thirsts and He runs. Somebody wants to kill Him and He goes and hides away. Jesus. So God is running away from the Jews. No, this is, we say, it is not the right concept. Why do you have to use these bad words in front of our sisters? There is no need. My dear children, day and night, I don't know whether you have a TV in your house. You see, I was reading a leading Sunday paper. In that leading Sunday paper, the Christian in the Westminster Abbey, in the holiest of holy, in England, they're using this language for their God Jesus, this bastard. Then he thought, I'm only quoting what they're saying. I have no right to do that. What am I going to say? They're illegitimate fellow. They are saying bastard, and I'm just quoting you. And this word bastard is an Anglo-Saxon word, and it occurs in the Christian Bible 3 times in the Bible. Bastard, bastard, bastard. In this Bible, in every Bible on earth, this word bastard occurs 3 times. Then he goes, what am I going to do? When I come to bastard, what do I say? Illegitimate. He says, illegitimate. What do you want me to do? I'm only quoting, I have no right to quote. No, you want to gag me. Then the message won't reach you. You people are used to so much. Used to so much, you hear day in and day out. You know, every other word that the guy is using is a four-letter word. Every other word that he uses is a bastard, is a bastard, is a bastard. And now you say, I'm only quoting the Christian Bible. And I'm quoting the Christian missionaries in the Westminster Abbey in front of the Queen. Where they use this language, I don't know, they can't object. I don't know why you are getting so sensitive. Why you should get oversensitive when the Christians don't get oversensitive to what they're saying in their own churches.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It's a common question. But the thing is, my friends and I get often in a discussion, will non-Muslims go to heaven in the same way as Muslims, and could you shed some light on the subject, please?
You see, Allah tells in the Quran, when you do kufr, act of blasphemy against Allah, He said, I will not forgive. Shirk, He said, I will not forgive. Anything else I can forgive, my creatures as I want. I can overlook your faults. Shirk, I will not forgive. You are attributing happiness to God, that God has begotten a son. This is something He will not tolerate. And this is what He is telling us in the Holy Quran. I think this should be the last question, because it's a lengthy answer. This will be the last question, my dear brothers. It will be the last question. See, Allah Ta'ala is telling us in the Quran, the things that irritate Him most. He says, in Surah Maryam, say, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. And they say that Ar-Rahman, the merciful God, has begotten a son. Allah ne beta jana. You understand Urdu? Allah ne beta jana. Allah ne beta ko janam diya. Paida kiya usne. Paida kiya nahi. Janam diya. He's begot a son. You know, the Christian says, he comes and knocks at your door, and he says, Jesus is the only begotten son. Ek hi jana hua beta. Begotten, not made. Jana hua. Not like Adam. Adam was made by God. Every dog, pig and donkey was made by God. Jesus is not like that. He is begotten, not made. He had sex and produced. Would that be all right to you? Had sex and produced. Begotten, he had sex and produced. Allah had sex with Mary.
somebody else's wife, Joseph the carpenter's wife, he committed adultery with her and created the bastard child Jesus. That's what it means. You go and have sex with somebody else's wife. Even a God has got no right to go and have sex with your wife. That's what the Christians say. Jesus is the only begotten Son. Eki jana hua beta. Begotten, not made, not like Adam. Adam was made by God, not like that. This is begotten. So Allah reacts. Allah reacts. The worst swearing he says, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْءٍ إِدَّا. The most abominable assertion one can make, the worst swearing you can give Allah says, فَقَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَتَّرْنَا مِنْهُ. Every the skies are ready to burst. وَقَنْ شَقَّ الْأَرْضُ. And the earth to split asunder. وَقَنْ جِبَالُ حَدَّا. And the mountains to fall down in utter ruin. أَنَّ أَوْلِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدَا. That they should say that Ar-Rahman, the merciful God, has begotten a son. Allah in a beta jana. That's how Allah reacts. The worst swearing I can give any one of you. I can call you my son. This young man here, you, look at me. If I call you my son, you mind? I call you my son. You mind? No. If your father hears it, your mother hears it, she won't mind, I'm sure. He said, no, this old man loves my child like his own and is calling him my son. Huh? She'll be happy. You're happy. Call you my son. And I'll visit you home one day. What's your name? Huh? Safrat. So I come along to your house, I say, yes, Safrat, my son. I'm asking your mother. He says, he's just gone to the shop, he's coming just now. And you come. I say, Safrat, my son. I embrace you like the Arabs do. And I kiss you. Huh? My son. I still call you my son. This companion of mine, who doesn't know our relationship, he wants to know, is he really your son? So I says, no. This young man, he loves me like a father, like a grandfather, and I call him a son. Okay? Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. But instead I said, yes, he is my begotten son. You know what it means? You know, that's the worst swearing I'm giving you. You know what I'm calling you? A bastard. When I say, yes, you are my begotten son, means you are a bastard. You're not your father's son, I had sex with your mother. I committed zina with your mother. Your mother is a zania and produced you, bastard child. And your mother was bluffing you, showing you, said, yes, your daddy. But that's not your daddy, I'm your real daddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm swearing you the worst swearing I can give you. That's something that you can't forgive. Nobody can. You have a right to punch me on the jaw, break my jaw. You have a right. I'm swearing you the worst swearing I can give you. You irritate me. You make me angry, man. You know what you people do? Look, I'm an old man, old machine, 77-year-old. You know, I get irritated. I don't have good night's sleep. I'm not here taking pills. And you irritate me. So I say, go, you're a bloody fool. So what you do? You laugh. The old man is tired. Further irritate me further, I say, go, Gordon, you're a very ox. You know ox? Castrated bull. You're an ox. You irritate me, I say, you're a very donkey. I say, you're a bloody fool. What do you do? You laugh. But once I take your mother's name, say, uncle, not one more word. I don't want to hear one more word from you. I'm going to lose all the respect I have for you. It's already gone. Once I touch your mother's name, no respect. He's short of punching me on the jaw. But now, you don't want to do that. You say, look, I'm going to lose all the respect I have for you. It's already gone. Don't talk about my mother. Don't talk about my wife. Don't talk about my daughter. Call me what you like. Call me monkey, call me donkey, call me whatever you like. But don't take my mother's name. Am I right? Yes. Anyway. Allah says, the worst thing you can give me is just to say that I have begotten a son. فَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَتَّرْنَ مِنْهُ. As if the skies are ready to burst, وَتَنْشَقَّ الْأَرْضُ, and the earth to split asunder, وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ حَدَّا, and the mountains to fall down in utter ruin. If the heavens are feeling like you, Allah is saying, if the heavens are feeling like you, emotions like you, the heaven would have fallen down. If the earth had feeling and emotions like you, the earth would have split asunder. If the mountains had feeling and emotions like you, the mountains would have crumbled to pieces. Such horrible swearing that they're giving Allah. I want to know whether it moves any Muslim. It moves any Muslim. Any Muslim going along and talking to them and telling them, hey, what are you talking, man? What is this you're talking? Is there a Muslim? I want to meet that Muslim. You tell me that this Maulana, this Shaykh, this Allama, this is that is telling the Christians, hey, don't talk like that. I want to go and kiss that Maulana's hands. Get me one. You tell me that this certain Maulana here, he's the one who's telling the Christians, don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Don't swear Allah. Allah is very unhappy with you, very angry with you. You give me that alim's name and I want to go and kiss his hands. In this world, or in the Arab world, or in Pakistan, or in India, or in South Africa, I am not coming across a single alim who is telling the Christians don't talk like that. You find that. Now somehow I am set up for this. I'm being set up continuously. That used to be a fear, I tell you. And so, I'm being set up. Well, I'm being set up. And I cooperate with his will. He wants to set me up, he wants to use me, he can use me. And if I sound loud and militant, my sisters will have to forgive me. You see, maybe you have been listening to me for the first time. If you heard that my lecture on Vishnu, you wouldn't have protested then.
I have just little request. We didn't have any question. We are very grateful you on this visit, and we request if you give time, all Muslim people through UK visit every town. We are very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I hope you'll appreciate, brothers and sisters, we had quite a few number of questions, and Sheikh, as you'll see, is far too old to stand here for that length of time to answer all those questions. All your questions could be answered if you would kindly write to IC Islamic Public Center, Birmingham. The address is on the envelope you all have at the bottom, and Sheikh will be more than pleased to answer all your questions. Finally, thank you very much once again, and thank you, Sheikh. We conclude with dua. Tarsan.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa la haqqa lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salam, wa la khatim ila anbiya wa mursaleen. Allahumma rizqna ilman nafi'an, Allahumma rizqna amalan salihan mutazayyanan bil ikhlas. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab al nar. وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين پروردگار عالم ہمارا یہاں بیٹھنا اور سننا سنانا اپنی بارگاہ میں قبول اور منظور فرما
آمین
یا الہ العالمین قبلہ شیخ صاحب کو عمر خضر عطا فرما ان کے علم و عمل میں برکت عطا فرما یا الہ العالمین ہماری نئی نسل کو نئی جنریشن کو اس دیار کفر کے اندر نیک اعمال کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما قرآن مجید پڑھنے سمجھنے اور اس پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما سنت مطہرہ پر سب کو عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما ہمارے دلوں میں اپنی اور اپنے پیارے محبوب کریم علیہ السلام کی سچی محبت نصیب فرما بزرگان دین کے نقش قدم پر چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اللہم ایّد الاسلام والمسلمین تمام احباب یہ بھی دعا فرمائیں کہ جہاں جس ملک کے اندر مسلمانوں پر ظلم ہو رہا ہے بالخصوص بوزنیا مقبوضہ کشمیر اور دیگر ممالک کے اندر جہاں بھی مسلمان پریشان حال ہیں مقہور ہیں بے چین ہیں بے قرار ہیں مظلوم ہیں اللہ کریم ان مسلمانوں کو اپنے اپنے مقاصد میں کامیابی اور کامرانی نصیب فرمائے ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم وصلی اللہ تعالی علی حبیبہ محمد وآلہ واصحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم